Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we just want to bless you on today. We bless you, Lord, and we lift you up and we glorify you, God. There is nobody that is like you, Lord. Hallelujah. We want to give you our best praise and our best worship, God. Before we go any further, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we want to open up our mouths, God, and give you a salutation, Father God. We want to give you our best on today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be modest. We don't want to be distracted. We're not going to worry about what nobody else is doing or who is doing it, God, but we want to bless you, Lord. We want to bless you with the very fruit of our lips. We want to bless you with the clapping of our hands. We want to bless you in a dance on today, God. We want to give it to you right now, Father God. Hallelujah! 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 You are great, God, and you are greatly to be praised. There is nobody else that is like you, God. You are he who was, who is, and who is to come. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the creator of all creations. And we want to give it to you on today, God. Oh, my mind, the local, shunned it like I see ya. Oh God, there's so many times in our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we place so many things above you, God, or we put too many stuff in before you, God. But right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we want to pull everything down. We want to pull it all down right now, God, in the name of Jesus, because we want to put you in the forefront. We want you to be our main thing, God. We want you to be the focus of it all, Lord. We do not want to raise up anything or anybody higher than you, God. And if by chance we have, Lord, we want to put it down right now. Any crown we ever won, we lay at your feet. Any title we ever obtained, we lay at your feet. Any position we ever accomplished, Lord, we want to lay it down at your feet right now, God. We don't want to have these things, Father God, consuming us in our mind. We don't want these things to consume us in our hearts. We don't want these things to overshadow us, God, that we cannot be able to see clearly, Lord. So I'm asking you to remove the fog on today, God. Remove any occultion like I see. And in everything, God, that causes us to be blinded. Remove the scales off our eyes that we could clearly see. Uncork our ears that we could clearly hear on today, God. Because you know, Father God, what we need. You know what we don't need. You know, Father God, we are like you know it all, God. So we're going to come to you on today, God. And we're going to open up ourselves, Lord. We're going to open up ourselves, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you may be able to enter in. We're going to open up ourselves, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you may be able to reside. We're going to open up ourselves on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we may be able to empty out all this stuff that we be carrying. We're going to give you all ourselves on today. We're going to give you any and everything inside of us on today, God. We're not going to be cheap. We are not going to hold it back. We're not going to cheat you out of it. But we're going to give you our best on today, God, because you are worthy of it. You are worthy of it, God. And there is nobody else, Father God, that deserves it more than you. Nobody else, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that deserves it more than you. It is due you, God. I'm asking you to be in our midst on this morning, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Cover us in your blood and hide us behind your cross, God. I'm asking you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will open up the hearts of your people, God. Open up the hearts of your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they may be able to accept your word on today. Open up the hearts of your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they may be able to accept your will on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because you got some things planned and in store for your people. Oh God, give us a heart of acceptance on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will not be in a place of forfeiture or denial or even delaying a thing, God. I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and open up our hearts, God. that we may be able to accept your word, Lord, even now, God, in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. So, thank you, Jesus. It's a lot of times that we as people have a tendency of not really understanding and not really believing that God preordained and predestined a thing inside of our lives even before we came into existence in the very bowels of our mama's belly. It's a lot of times in our lives that we have a tendency of looking at a matter or believing a matter is this because of what we're going through and what we are experiencing. But what we really don't know and what we really don't realize is that God be really trying to show us some things that's inside of our hearts that is not useful for his vineyard. We are his vineyard. We are his people. The Lord allows us to go through certain other things and experience certain other things for our own good. See, we would never be able to get to our final destination in God if we're doing the opposite of what he's telling us to do. We'll never be able to get to our destination where God wants us to be and how he wants us, because he has no delight that any of us should perish. He has no delight that any of us should perish. He wants us to live life in an abundance. Not only do he want us to live life in an abundance, he don't want us to get so wrapped up and so consumed with the cares of this world and this life that we forget our focus and the sole purpose of our existence. I got a phone call the other night, and in the midst of me being in that conversation, this individual say, you know, I was praying to the Lord and I was asking him, you know, what is my purpose? What do you want me to do for you? What do you do? And see, our purpose, everybody, every individual, regardless to what age they are, regardless to where they are in their life, our purpose is simply to be glorified. What is it about us? No. Let me help y'all out. Our purpose in this life and in this world is that Jesus, God, y'all, be glorified in you. Now, these things happen through experiences. These things happen in our growth, because as little children, we feel like we want this or we want that, or it should be like this or it shouldn't be like this, or it should go this way. And guess what, y'all? It's not just for little children. It's for us adults too. Why? Because we are a conditional nation. This is how we were brought up. This is what we were taught. The Bible says that we are to teach our children about Jesus. Everybody in here old enough to be up and woke, I believe so. So I need every child in here to sit up in your seats, please. Sit up in your seats. Because the Bible declares that we are to teach our children about God, that they may know the right way to go, the right way to act, and the right things to do. Because our purpose is to glorify Jesus through our bodies. It's certain other tests and trials that we're going to have to go through. See, God wants us to know really what's down in inside of us. Not only do he want us to know what's down in inside of us, he wants us to be able to acknowledge these things that he do not approve of, that we may have enough courage to face it and say, Lord, help me. So the first thing that we need to do is be obedient to him. We all have heard about God. We all have heard about Jesus. We all have heard about him. But what we need to understand is that, and I got to say this again, and I said it once this morning already, God had already preordained, predestined our lives way before we were even formed in our mama's belly. What do you mean by that? He got a destiny and a purpose for each and every last one of us. Now, we may not be able to realize it or understand it, but in being obedient, we will be pushed into it. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Everybody get a Bible. His Bible's up under the seats. Everybody that can read, grab a Bible. Go to the book of Genesis. I think I've been trying to teach y'all the books of the Bible. Go to the book of Genesis. That's the very first book of the Bible. The Old Testament. The Old Testament. See, what we don't realize, pay attention, y'all. What we don't realize is that rewards come from being obedient. I am not fit to reward you or praise you and you disobedient. You don't get to get that McDonald's and you is disobedient. You don't get to go out with your friends and you walking around with an attitude because you can't get what you want. See, what are you getting at, Pastor? Sometimes you have to give up something to get something. Let me say this all the time. If we look at stuff in a different way instead of thinking people picking on me or being mean to me or acting a certain type of way, then you will realize that you being set up for some good. You being set up. So, let me give y'all an example. I say, now y'all already know y'all got to be split up. Now, y'all already know y'all ain't finna sit together. Good. So, why get an attitude if I say, you sit here, you sit there, you sit over there? Because in actuality, I'm setting you up so you won't get in trouble. And so you just may get rewarded. For, are y'all paying attention? It's really just a setup. You could, yellow sheets of paper and red pens, y'all. See, because we all have to look at stuff in a different aspect instead of thinking that this is happening because I'm this, or this is happening because I'm not this, or this. Let me tell you something. It's not just a setup for you to be rewarded, but it's also a setup for what's to come. Because God already knows what's next. You just don't. You don't know what's next. And because you don't know what's next, it causes you to fear. It causes you to wonder. It causes you to make the next be the next. Because if I do this, then I know this is going to happen. No, you ain't sure. You hoping it is. Or you wishing that it is. Or praying that it is. But because, okay, we going to the book of Genesis. I already told y'all. The name of the sermon today is Provision Through the Sacrifice. Provision through the sacrifice. See, we don't really get it. We don't really get that God, He already got a plan for us. He already knows what the next is going to be. But I can't get you to that next because you still got this thought in your mind. I can't get you to the next because your attitude is all messed up. I can't get you to the next because you are disobedient. I can't get you to the next because you just won't listen. I can't get you to the next because you think you know more than me. I gotta take you through some stuff so that you can realize what's down in the inside of you. Because until you realize what's down in the inside of you, you will never realize that you need me to help you get it out of you. You gotta realize this. So I need you to sacrifice some stuff. I need you to sacrifice. I need you not to withhold nothing from me. I don't want you to withhold your sadness, your shame, your pain, your fear, your death. I don't want you to withhold your money, your time, your children. You know, I don't want you to withhold absolutely nothing from me because guess what? I'm already done planned your destiny. I already know. See, but and you know what? Shh, I can't even tell you right now because you ain't gonna understand. You ain't gonna get it, and you might try to make it happen. So I gotta make sure that I get you to that place where you being still and silent, and as you walk in your fear, you still walking in obedience. As you walk in that fear, you still saying, you know what, Lord, I ain't going to keep this. I'm scared. Be like David, I'm scared. I don't want to lose that, Lord. I don't want to let that go, Lord. And I'm scared if I let that person go, God, I'm going to be by myself. I'm scared. I'm just going to flat out tell you. But I'm going to be obedient because you told me to let him go. But I'm scared, Lord, that if I stop doing this or if I stop going here, God, that I won't be accepted and people may reject me. They may not treat me as they used to treat me or that they may not do me the way that they used to do me. But I'm scared of how I may look if I don't indulge. I'm just going to tell you now, Lord. You know my hurt. And because you know my heart, I know you're going to forgive me. I'm just going to do it just this last time, okay? You know I really love you. So we make up all these excuses because of the fear that's inside of us of the loss. The name of the sermon today is Provision Through the Sacrifice. What is provision? Now, y'all heard everything that I just said, right? This man blew me this morning when he gave me these two words. Provision and sacrifice. Listen to this. Provision. It's the fact or state of being prepared beforehand. He said, I already predestined your life. I already knew what I was going to allow you to go through, and I knew how much you was going to be able to bear. So I didn't put it all on you at one time. I let you deal with this and that, and then I put this on you, and then I put, and while you thought you was going to break, I was breaking something off of you. See, I knew beforehand that you was going to be in tears, weak at the knees. I knew you was going to be shaking and mad and angry and trying to commit suicide. I knew beforehand. Did I say provision through the sacrifice? So this is the definition of provision. Hey, kid, look it up for yourself. Listen to this. Provision. Provision. To provide someone with what is needed for a task or an activity. See, I made the provision for you and put down in the inside of you what you needed to be able to get through that thing that you thought that was going to kill you or break you, but you didn't know that I had already provided you with the tools that you needed because it felt oh so heavy and it was new territory. But I provided you, and if I had not allowed you to go through it, you would not have known what was in you. You would not have realized that I was going to make you great. You wouldn't have known. I already gave you what you needed. I gave you what you needed even in the very beginning. But you did not even know it. See, I had already preordained and predestined your life for you way before you were even born. Before you even came into existence, planned or unplanned. I had already had the master plan. Just for you. Just for you individually. Just for you individually. What is provision? Something upon which the carrying out of an agreement or an offer depends on. See, the provision that I gave you, I carried it out in the midst of you. I carried it out before you start carrying it. I'm going to say that again because I'm going to go up here and say it one more time so I can look at everybody. What you thought was too heavy for you to carry, I had already carried it away before you started carrying. You know, I had already fixed it for you. And you did not even know it was fixed. Because you was right smack dab in. I had already moved it out your way. When you was crying, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't even know how to. I had already done paved the way while you was falling and jumping and hopping. I had already done took care of it. Beforehand, you just didn't know it, because if you had known it, then you would have been walking in pride beforehand. So I had to make sure that you was in a meek and lowly place so that you appreciate my provision. So you got to first appreciate the provision, because he ain't obligated to. Did I say he ain't obligated? He do it because he loves. God does these things because he said, I give these things to you because I love you. And then when I give them to you and then I take them away from you, I want you to see that you only love me because I gave it to you, because deep down inside when I took it away, you don't love me no more. This is the book I'm just paraphrasing. Y'all read it, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. That's what he said. We love to give. But what do we want to give? Provision. Through the sacrifice. Now let's go to the word sacrifice. Destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. So, now if God tells you that. I remember, and I think I told y'all this testimony before, that the Lord told me I had to leave that man alone. At the very thought of me not being with him and leaving him alone, baby, I got weak in my knees to float in a fetus position, cry. Lord, now you know he good to me, good to my children. He's such a provider. Now all these things that I was saying to the Lord, now mind you, he had already knew. He knew what I needed. And he knew what I didn't need. But did I know? Lord, every man that I ever was with, God, all they did was physically abuse me. Yeah, they was good providers and they did this and that, but they just didn't love me right. And now that you allowed this man to come in my life, he never put his hands on me. He has such. And now you gonna just take him away and such. And you telling me that I can't such. And then, Lord. So I held on to him. And in the midst of me holding on to him, he cheated on me a few times. I say, Lord, I say, I do it such. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, you cheating on me? You cheating on me? You know, I asked you how many times I asked that man, well, what is it that you did? How many times the Lord has asked us? What is it that he had me to ask somebody before? He said, I give you all this and I give you that. He said, what more you want from me? What do I have to do? What do I gotta show you? I even gave you my son. Listen to this. Listen. I know I'm getting ahead of myself because I've been preaching almost the whole sermon. Listen. Sacrifice. It's a destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something. It's something given up or lost. It's something given up or lost. It's to suffer loss of, to give up, to renounce, to injure, or destroy, especially for an idea, a belief in, or a deity or a God. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. Thank you, Jesus. Don't y'all know we do stuff unknowing? Now, we're going to talk about the very first patriarch. And his name is Abraham. Abraham was in love with this woman. In the midst of him being in love with this woman, she couldn't have him no children, baby. The woman that he loved the most, he couldn't have no children by her. And because that's, everybody want babies. And for sure, for certain, you want to have a baby by that man you love. That man want to have a baby by that woman that they love. So, Abraham couldn't have no kids by the woman that he loved. And because she was so desperate, she gave him permission to have sex with somebody else. And she had a baby. And so, because, let me say this one more time. Everything that happens in our life was preordained, predestined, before we came into existence, y'all. Now, God knew that this was going to happen and how it was going to happen because he had already planned it out before it happened, y'all. But he had to teach Sarah something, and he had to teach Abraham something. We ain't going to talk about what Sarah had to learn today. That's a whole nother sermon. Okay? We're going to talk about Abraham. And God talking to you and telling you what he's going to do with you and how he wants you to do it. He ain't going to tell you everything at one time, y'all. He may give you the end of something and you ain't even got to the beginning yet. You just standing at the brink of it. Okay? God can tell you you a prophet and you have not entered into that prophetic realm yet. He telling you your end. He could tell you what is going to happen next and it may not be tomorrow. It may be years. See, all prophecy ain't right now prophecy, y'all. We be so quick to say, oh, they're a false prophet. Oh, they're in there. No, just hold on. Just hold on and wait on God. Because if he said it, it is so. Now listen to this. I hope they fix them Teslas. Before. Because there's too much going on with them jokers. They catching the fire, good and everything. Did you hear what I say? Lord, can we get a rose or something? I'll take a Bentley. Because the Teslas, they doing a little too much for their own good. I'm sorry I got off track. I just thought about that. Tesla ain't even making no more money right now. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, you gotta have to learn how to drive now for sure. You can always sit on books and scoot your chair all the way up. And the way you wear heels, girl, you can reach it in. They're showing stitching right there. I'm just saying. It's the truth. So, and plus they had the seats to go up. You know what I'm saying? They getting fancy. And so we good. We good. Yeah. We good. All right. Provision through the sacrifice. We're going to Genesis chapter 22. Now listen to this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son. Now mind you, I told y'all that he couldn't have no kids, right? So he went in into another lady and had kids. But God had already promised him. Let me say that. Did I say right now? All prophecy ain't right now prophecy. I said that for a reason. God had already promised him, you're going to have your own child by the woman that you love, and it's going to come from you and come from her. Because I got a plan. Now, in telling him what he was going to do for him, he did not tell him what was going to happen all because of what he did for him. Did you hear me? Because there's going to be some things that I do for you, baby. You may not understand why I do it, and you may think I'm being mean. But I'm doing it for you, for your future. You see? I'm for it to come. Because you may not know and you may not understand that with age comes wisdom. You know? So I may be trying to tell you something for your own sake. And you may not want to accept that thing. Or even believe it. Because sometimes things are said to us and it sounds far-fetched. Too good to be true. Or it can happen for them, but it won't happen for me. I denounce all of that. Because I believe God. I believe him. Baby, he was ministering to me. I was trying to go to sleep last night. And so while I was laying down there in the bed, next thing you know, I got the kick in my feet. I said, I gotta get out. I feel like shouting. I just got to speaking in tongues. I was just overwhelmed with the spirit. And then I just laid there and then I just cried and tears was running out. And all I could do was just thank him. Now see, the Lord will prepare you for some things, but he may not tell you anything. Did you hear what I say? He may not tell you anything. So listen to this. He told him he was going to have a son. Now he done had a son, baby, and the baby done grew up and all that. Now you know that you going to love that. Let me tell y'all about my firstborn. It's my daughter. Baby, I loved my baby so much until I named her Love It. And my name is it. You hear what I say? I mean, I treat her like just a little bit of baby doll. My daughter never crawled a day in her life because I always had her on my hip. Did you hear what I say? When my mama told me to put her down, that girl sat down on the ground and jumped up and started walking, staggering. She never crawled because I never, ever gave her a chance to. And she would throw up, you know how you would wipe a little baby. Baby, I'm changing her clothes. She could pee one time, I'm changing her diaper. She could, I mean, it was just too much. That firstborn baby, we don't know how to act. We possess, we can't even sleep because we just watching them sleep. We could, if they cough, baby, we scared. Hold the altar. Don't let them talk. Don't hit my baby too hard. No, you can't hold my baby. You know, we a mess. Just a mess. That's how we is with them firstborns, baby. That first one. Oh, don't let it be your first grandchild. Oh, Lord. It gets worse. It gets worse. I'm telling y'all. You just go overboard with it all. Just overboard with it. Ask me. Ask me. Then when a whole lot of them come, you just want to go overboard. You stay broke. You know? I mean, seriously. So, Abraham had a son. And in the midst of him having a son, listen, see, it's a lot of things that goes on inside of our hearts when we receive stuff or get stuff that we don't recognize what's going on inside of us. But God wants us to see these things. And him showing us these things, he want to break these things off of us before it get out of hand. Because if it get out of hand, we can't get to our destiny. We'll never get to it. So listen to this. And it came to pass after these things that God did to Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Y'all get it? And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, did he tell him where to go?
No.
He just told him to go, right? Now listen to this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now this scripture stuck out at me. I said, Lord, why is that scripture taken out of me? He said, because there's some people that's going to start with you, baby. They ain't going to be able to go all the way with you. And that, listen, pay attention to this. Why I said that? Why did I say that? And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and claimed the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide here with the ass. So you can't take everybody with you where you gotta go. They may be able to go part of the way and then they got to stand still. They got to stand still because your journey is a little bit further than their journey. Everybody can't go with you because their journey stopped right here because they may not be able to handle what's up there. Did y'all hear what I said? So the people that start off with you, they may not be able to, you may not be able to drag them along with you. You may be able to take them only so far. Only so far. Okay, listen. Listen to this. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. See, sometimes you got to go and do some things that God has planned for you, and then you can go back and pick them up because everybody ain't going to be able to help. Baby, you taking too many folk and too many people with you. It may be a hindrance. It may slow you down. It may distract you. They could have became a distraction. Why? Because I needed some help to this place. And once I got to this place, you had to stay right here. You got to stay right here because he's taking me to another place that I may be able to obtain something. And once I obtain it, then I could come back and I can join you that you may be able to enjoy with me. You know, okay, let me prove it. Let me prove it. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife. Okay, let me go back to the time. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto him, his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. See, everybody can't go with you where God want to take you to a different place. He got to take you to a different place. How can he take me to a different place? I needed you to help me to get to that place where he wanted me to go. Now, in the midst, I want you to stay right here because he want to take me to another place of worship inside of him. See, Abraham, he already worshiped God. He already was obedient to God. We knew that when the Lord told him, come out from amongst your family and go here. Now, he didn't tell him where he was going. He said, just leave him. Pay attention to how he dealt with Abraham and leaving folk. He told him to leave. Lot was Lot with him. Y'all got to pay attention. Listen. Even though he loved the folk and the people. Listen. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Okay? And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, mind you, he had already knew what God had instructed him to do. God had instructed him to kill his only kid. God had instructed him to take the very life of the very thing that he wanted the very most. You hear what I say? How easy it is for him to tell his son, I gotta kill you, baby. So he said, God will provide. Why did he say God will provide? It never said why, but just think, y'all, ponder in your heart. Now, he told me to leave my family and go somewhere where I ain't know nobody, and it was unfamiliar territory. He provided for me then. So he told me that I would have a son by the woman that I loved, but I ain't had one yet, but he promised it to me. And then, he did it. So he provided then, didn't he? So he told me to go and do this concerning Lot. And then he provided then. So, because of his, pay attention, y'all, past experiences and his obedience to what God has told him to do, he said, you know what? I ain't going to get ahead of myself. Let me go. Let's go back to the book. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to kill his son. Listen to this. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and say, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the kid, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That's how they got the name Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Listen, as it is said, so this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. See, the people that Abraham said, stay right here. Ain't nobody can go but me and my son. I'm going up here for the worship God. Now, he didn't even know what he was saying, did he? Pay attention, y'all. So in the midst of him going up there to worship God, that he told the people, because when you sacrificing something to the Lord, is that not a form of worship? So he going up there for to kill his son. And in the midst of it, God said, stop. Don't kill him. And so when he told him to stop and not to kill him, did that give him a reason to worship him even the more? Is y'all getting it? So if he telling him to worship him in the sacrifice, but now you done told me I ain't got to sacrifice that thing. I'm not, he said, because I know you ain't going to withhold nothing from me. I know if I tell you to give me every dime you got in your bank account, you're going to give it to me. You're not going to withhold it from me, because you know I'm going to provide for you. If I sit up here and I tell you to leave that man alone or stop doing this or stop doing that or don't go here or don't, you're going to sacrifice. You know what? That's a form of you worshiping me. You worshiping me and you letting me know I ain't putting nothing in nobody before you. I'm going to make sure that I'm not putting nothing in nobody before you. Because if I got to lose it, baby, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to provide something better for me. I may think that this is the best thing that ever happened to me. This is the best person that ever did. This is the best job I ever had. This is the best. I may think and believe that thing. But what I do know is that if I willingly give it to you when you done told me to give it to you, I know that you're going to provide for me. I know that you're going to provide for me not a lamb, but a ram. Did you hear what I say? I know you got something in the cut for me. I may not be able to see it, because the Bible never said when he got up there, he said he bound his son. But what was caught in the thicket? Was that ram not bound? It was waiting. He did not even know it. He didn't even hear. If it was caught in the thicket, then he was making some noise, wasn't he? Wasn't he making some noise or what? Distress. Distress. So sometimes when you got distressing noises in your life, you may have to sacrifice some stuff. You may have to let some things go. You may have to denounce some things or some people or some folks or some situations or some concerns or some troubles or some challenges. This is what happened. Listen to this. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. So I'm going blessings on blessings on blessings. Let me tell you something. Listen, I gotta say that again. said the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, not just you, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So let me sit up here and tell you something. If the Lord tell you to stop doing it, stop doing it. Because he didn't just say, he said, I swear, he promised you, I'm going to give you a blessing on top of a blessing. I'm not going to just multiply you in the midst of the blessing. You're going to have it in an abundance. The saying of sin, when you pick up the sand in the sea, baby, and you look at it in your hand, you can't even count all the grains that's in the inside of your hand. He said, I'm not going to just multiply you as the sand of the sea. He said, but your seed, in other words, any and everything that's attached to you is going to be blessed. They're not going to just be blessed, but I'm going to multiply them and the blessings that I bless them with. I guess I'm the only one excited. I'm talking about the sacrifices that we made, that we're not withholding nothing from the Lord. How many times, what God said? He said, get 10% of your increase. We get $1,000, we give him $10. He said, I just want 100 of it. That's all that I want from you. I'm not asking you for nothing. And you sacrifice. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Why? Because you need that $100. You know? But you got to know that I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for you because I preordained and predestined your life. I want you to see what's down in the inside of your heart. He wanted Abraham to see how he was exalted and how much he loved his son. Because what did he say? He said, I want you to sacrifice your only son, the one that you love is. So he wanted him to see that he was exalting that little boy, raising him up, cherishing. Don't you cherish nothing in his life. Not your bank account, not your job, not your money, not your house, not your car, not your children, not your love affair, not absolutely nothing. Because just like he gave it to you, he'll take it away from you. He said that if you I told y'all the story this morning. He said, I need you to see that you loving that nigga more than you loving me, baby. You need to see that thing. Because it'll break you if I tell you to give it up. It'll break. If you got $500, I don't know why I keep saying $500. If you got $500 right now, and the Lord says sacrifice and give it all to me, would you do it? And that's all you got. You don't know what you're going to do next. You got to pay your rent. You got to pay your bills. You got to get your kids some shoes because there's a hole in the bottom of the shoe. You got. Would you do it? Would you sacrifice it in knowing that he will provide? What did Abraham say? I ain't worrying about that, son. Come on. Let's just go. God gonna provide for me. Do we really know that God is our provider? Do we really believe that he will provide for us? I had to learn it. Sleeping in a truck with my two kids. Use our clothes for cover. I had to learn that he was going to provide for me when he just sent somebody to walk, putting money in my hand, ministering to me, showing me, opening. I had to learn that he was going to provide for me. I had to learn that he was going to make sure that we was going to be able to eat when they would not give me a food stamp. I had to really believe that he was going to provide for me. I had to really trust him with that because I can't see it. I don't know what's next. My family wouldn't help me. My sister would not even let me live in her basement, and I begged her. I said, well, can my kids just come in? And so then she said, no. I don't want your daughter around my husband because she was married to a pedophile. Let me sit up here and tell you something. sometimes you ain't got nobody else to depend on but God. So in the midst of you knowing that he is your provider, how easy and simple would it be for you to simply sacrifice it all unto him? I give you my life, Lord. That's what I told him. I said, you know what, God, I'm just going to give it all to you. If I lose it all, okay. If I ain't got no friends, don't nobody like me, everybody hate me. If I can't do this and I can't, I'm okay with it, God. I'm going to sacrifice it all. Blessings on blessings on blessings. God will give you that overflow. He will multiply. Everyone, this is what he told me. He said, every one person that hates you, I'm going to give you five to love you. Did you hear what I say? He said, everybody that come up against you, he said, they lie and say this and all manner of evil against you. He said, you know what? It's going to turn around. They'll be back. You just keep on loving. How many times that we have to sacrifice our attitude not knowing that he already planned something for us to be rewarded by, or just simply being quiet? It's hard to be quiet sometimes when you need to defend yourself, ain't it? Is that, ain't it? Yes, Lord. That boy said, yep, you see this face? He was like, yep. It's hard to be quiet sometimes when somebody lying on you and you want to, guess what? You ain't even got to tell your story. Sacrifice and be silent. I dare you. Because not only is you going to be rewarded, he said you're going to be blessed on top of blessings. What are we going to sacrifice today? Any and everything, yellow sheets of paper and red pens. Any and everything that you think or believe that you're raising up higher than God, write it down. Any and every person, individual. Any and every situation, any and every concern that you think is overtaking you, are you raising it up higher than you is God? Write it down. Because we need to know, we need to realize that God is our everything. Thank you, Jesus. We put so many things in so many situations, and even that problem or that concern that you have, and you raising it up higher than God. Pull it down. Sacrifice that today. Because he don't want us to be troubled. He don't want us to be messed up. Maybe he'll put us in a situation that we ain't got no other choice but to let go of some things and let go of some people. You can't take everybody. Sometimes God wants you to worship him and he's taking you to a whole nother level. Don't you know that elevated Abraham's faith in God even the more he already believed God when he first left, when he told him to? He was obedient. He already believed God. And then every act and every challenge, every situation that he went through and he experienced, it just elevated his faith and trust in God. And God wanted to make sure that it was anchored and steadfast in him. So he had to show him what was in him that caused him to hinder from reaching his destination. I believe Abraham died fulfilling his purpose in God. I do. Simply for one reason and one reason only. Obedience. The Bible says that Abraham's obedience caused God not to just bless him, but to impute righteousness in him. Obedience, y'all. says that obedience is better than a sacrifice. His obedience towards God caused him to inherit it all. He's the father of many nations, y'all. Abraham went down in history, baby. Did y'all hear me? Let God be any and everything that you need on today. Because that's just who he is. It may be hard for us to let go, stop doing, going, all that stuff. Make a decision on today. To simply say, yes, Lord, I'll sacrifice it all for you. Not because you're in expectation for him to reward you, but simply because you love him. He said, them that love me will abide in me. Yeah, it ain't going to be easy and it's going to be hard. Is it hard? Nuh-uh. He said, we got to choose. We got to make that choice. Now, the choice may be a struggle, but he said he'll also give us a way of an escape. Because God is. Write down all these things that we struggle with inside of our hearts and our minds, because a lot of times we do it out of pity. Sometimes we do it because we want to be accepted and not rejected. Sometimes we do it out of obligation. Or just because we believe that this is the only way that we're going to be loved. Don't withhold nothing from the Lord. If you got a problem, a concern, a worry, a fear, or a tear, write it down. If it's something and things is going on in your life that's challenging, and you even standing in the gap for somebody else and carrying the troubles and the concerns of others, write it down. I done read this story several times, and yet it ministered to me today, because I was like, I mean, he showed me so many different points. Like when he told the men that were that started off with him, he said, stay right here and wait until I come back. See, sometimes you got to take a few more steps in your journey by yourself, that you may be able to get into that place of worship, that you may be able to uplift somebody when you do go back to them or they come back to you. We don't want things to hinder or delay or stop us from getting into that place of worship. While we are being obedient unto God, we are already in a place of worship. We are already thanking him for what he's doing, because he has done something for all of us all numerous times. He elevating our thankfulness. He elevating our worship. He taking us to a whole nother level in him that other people may not even understand it. Why you always tell, I can't help but to talk about the Lord. I can't have a conversation with somebody and that man's name don't come up. I'm sorry. That's just a part of it. I gotta worship him. I gotta tell you about him. I gotta let you know, baby, that he is that deal to me because of my experiences. I'm not gonna forget the things that he did for me. So when I'm going through something, I can easily remember that if he got me through this, he'll get me through that. He is my strength. I ain't got to worry about being lonely or by myself. I'm not going to be afraid to sacrifice that relationship I'm not going to be afraid to sacrifice that friendship. Because God is trying to show me something. He's trying to teach me something. I may have to come back and let you know that I love you. Yeah, I love you. But God is trying to show me something. It does not mean that I don't want you. Come on. Are y'all listening? God is. Write this stuff down. And after you write down this stuff, now put it on the seat. Bring it to the altar. Put it on the altar. And leave it there. Stay there. And pray for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, provision through this sacrifice. Even though we're going through it, Lord, even though we're in it, we know that you are our provider. We know that you can change and rearrange some things, God. We may not know why, how, when, where, what, but we trust you. We trust you, Lord. Time to write this stuff down. Because it be so much that we be holding on to. So much that we be carrying. Thank you, Jesus. He never told Abraham what mountain to go to. He said, I'm gonna show it to you. So please keep in mind that when the Lord tell you to do something or ask you to do something, he may not give it all to you at one time. He got to keep some stuff in the dark. If we knew everything, then we'll understand that we didn't need to know it all. Because we do too much, don't it? He was working some things out behind the scene for Abraham. He was working some things out like he do for us all the time. Working some things out. Because we don't even know how to work it out. We think we do. Or we try to. But we don't. After you put that stuff on the altar, stay on the altar. Start praying for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Every child in the sanctuary, please get on your knees. And just start praying to the Lord. Y'all got prayers. Y'all know how to ask God for stuff. Ask him to help you with your attitudes. I'm talking to these babies. Asking him to help you to learn how to get along with one another and love one another. not be fussing and arguing all the time. Thank you, Jesus. After y'all write this stuff down, please bring it to the altar and put it on the altar. And then stay on the altar and start praying for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Sometimes God got to put us in a place of stillness so that we may be able to hear what he's saying. Thank you, Jesus. Sit back and watch him work. Let him do what he do best. And then seeing about us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm asking you to touch us, your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we lay down all these things at your feet, Lord. It's so many things, situations, concerns, problems, and fears, and tears, and all kind of stuff, Father God, that we know we need to sacrifice for the sake, Father God, of obedience. So I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to touch us in our hearts and even in the inside of our minds on today, Father God, and knowing, Lord, that even in the midst of the sacrifice, God, that you are our provider. You are going to make a way out of no way. You are the one that knows what's down in the inside of our hearts, God. You are the one that knows, Father God, what we don't need down in the inside of our hearts. And you want to show us, Father God. You want to help us, Lord. So I'm asking you to pick it up and remove it. I'm asking you to uproot it and sever it on today, Father God. I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we may be able to accept your will, your way, your purpose, and your plan for our lives, Lord, that we will not continue, Father God, to try to do things on our own, Lord. Help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to be obedient. Help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to simply lift up our hands and ask you, what must we do to be saved, God? I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would complete the work that you've begun down in the inside of us, God. I'm asking you to comfort us and hold us. I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would lift us up out of that work, Father God, that we think and believe that we are in God, when in actuality we are not. I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to remove the scales off our eyes, that we may be able to clearly see, Father God, that you got some rewards for us, God. You got some places that you want to take us. You got some things that you want us to do, that we may get into a place to appreciate you even the more, Father God, for the very things that you have already done and what you are about to do. Oh God, I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to lift your people up, God. Remove every tear, God. Turn it into tears of laughter. Give them a tear of joy. Oh God, I'm asking you to help your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will be stabilized in you, God. That they will be healthy in you, God. That they will be in peace in you, Father God. I'm asking you to complete the work that you've begun in each and every last one of your people on today, Father God, that they may know, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you have already predestined their lives. God already predestined our lives, y'all. It may not feel good in the place that you are in. It may not feel good in the place that you are in because of the things that you are going through and what you are experiencing. It may take you to another place where you just do not even want to be, but right now, don't hold on to it. Give it to the Lord right now. Give it to him right now.
The first verse says this. So many nights.
Oh God.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh God.
You know I cry for better days.
people on today, Father God, not to be distracted, Lord. And concentrating on you, God.
I know. Come on. What do you know?
Help your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to know, God, that you have already planned their lives.
See, I got to do something. I got to just hold that. Come on, y'all.
God already planned our lives, y'all.
Your spirit, the sun is going to shine. Come on.
It may not feel good in that place that you are in right now. It's a whole new territory and you're not used to it and it's uncomfortable. Think about Abraham. That had to be in the most uncomfortable place for him when the Lord told him to kill his only son, the one he loved oh so much. Kill your attitude concerning that thing. It may be uncomfortable for you to kill that anger because of what happened or what was said. It may be uncomfortable for you not to be sad about that situation or that loss. Oh yeah, it may be uncomfortable. Sacrifice it unto the Lord today. Whatever you're going through, because you already got the victory. You just don't know it because you win it right now. I'm going to say that one more time. You already got the victory. You just can't see it. See, Abraham had the victory and did not even know he had the victory. He just was being obedient. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for the victory. Oh, my mind, me look on shut me that I can see your house. Oh, my mind, me look on shut me that I can see your house. Hiya, my house, shut me that I can see. Oh God, we believe, God, that you're going to work it out, that you're going to fix it, that you're going to change it, that you're going to rearrange it. We believe it on today, Father God, because we know that you are our provider. We know that you're going to provide a way of escape, God. We know that you're going to provide the healing in a broken heart. We know that you're going to provide, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the healing in our bodies, God, that make us feel those aches and those pains. We know that you are going to provide, Father God, any and everything that we need concerning our finances, God. We know that you are going to provide, Father God, all the love that we desire, Lord, because we have it in you. You showed us that you loved us, Father, in the name of Jesus, by simply sacrificing your only son. Oh, my mind, the local shall be like a figure. Oh, my mind, the local shun me the life of fire. It's a lot of times that we allow our love to keep flowing, even in spite of the constant and repetitive pain that we have to experience from the people that we love oh so much. Sometimes it overtakes us so much until we just really do not even know what to do, and we done did all that we could. And then we start questioning and asking ourselves, why do I even put myself through this? When I already know what the outcome is going to be.
Your situation, you are loved. That's gonna shine. Thank you. Oh God, touch the short one. Thank you. And it's like a broken yourself today, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. It just won't be done. So Lord, do it for me. Sometimes I get this when I say like this. I say, Lord, fix it for me. Anybody know that only God can do it. Because Lord, I have a problem that only you can solve. So Lord, do it for me. Can y'all play that for me?
God, you know any and everything that we need. Touch the heart on today, God. Touch the heart on today, Father God. I want y'all to put your hands on your heart. Take your right hand and put it on your heart. Touch the hearts on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. He called it and it'll go. And rearrange some things and change some things for your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they may know without a shadow of a doubt that this too shall pass. The Lord says that he have to move some things around inside of our hearts that we may be able to understand where he is fixing to take us. Because there's a lot of stuff that we just can't take to our necks. Oh, Father God, comfort your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and complete the work that you've begun down in the inside of them, Father God, as they seek your face, Father, as they seek refuge in you, Lord. Oh, Lord, they come crying unto you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because they know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, speak, or imagine, Lord. We know, Father God, that you are capable, Father God, of healing that broken heart, lifting up the hung down head. We know that you are capable of moving all these things, Father God, just hidden down in the inside of our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we keep on holding on to, Father God. Do it for your people individually, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they may know, that they may be able to understand, Father God, that we don't have to prove ourselves unto anybody, because your son Jesus justified it all when he died on the cross. Lord, I'm asking you to comfort your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will be sustained in your will, your way, your purpose, and your plan, God, and that they may be able to be anchored, Lord. It's some things, Father God, that we're still holding on that happened to us, Father God, even from our past. I'm asking you to uproot it on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will not continue to hold on to these things, Father God, thinking and believing that we got to prove ourselves unto somebody, Lord. I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, to know our worth, God. Show your people their worth on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will not continue, Father God, to walk around thinking and believing that they are nothing, because you say we are nevertheless. We are nevertheless, Father God, when you sent your son Jesus. Oh God, touch right now. Comfort right now, God. Heal right now, God. Deliver right now, God. Set us, your people, free, God. That we may know and understand, God, that you will provide for us in our relationships. You will provide for us, Father God, in our friendships. You will provide for us, God, even if we ain't got a job, a house, a car. Lord, you are our provider. You are the one to provide the air that we breathe. We put our trust in you, God. We put our trust in you, God. Comfort us on today, Lord. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, you said you'll send your comforter. Comfort your people on today, God. Comfort them in their minds and even in their hearts, Lord. Wipe every tear. We're casting our cares at your feet. Everything that y'all put on that altar, I want y'all to leave it at the altar. Do not take it back with you. Don't take it back with you. Every problem, every concern, all the stuff. You want him to do something, tell him. Lord, I need you to do it. We passed the wound. I need you to heal my heart. I need you to lift that thing up so heavy up off of my heart. I need you to erase the pain and the hurt from my mind and my thoughts. Do it for me right now, God. Do it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, touch each and every individual that's on this altar. Cover us in your blood and hide us behind your cross and continue, Father God, to shield us and protect us. Restore your people, Father God, even now. In your Son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated if you want to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, God.
If you read your Bible.
Thank you, Jesus. I hope there was something said on today to help to encourage you guys. I pray to God there was something said on today. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all wrote that stuff down. I want y'all to leave it up on that altar. Don't take it back home with you. Don't put it back in your pocketbook. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We all need him to do something for us. Jesus. Jesus. I love you guys so much. We're going to get ready to get our tithes and our offering. Now, all this stuff that's up here on this altar, all this stuff, you don't y'all take that stuff back with y'all. Leave it right here, knowing that God is going to provide you with comfort. He's going to make a way. He's going to do it. You got to, the Bible says they that come to him must come to him believing that he is. and that he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So you got to know, you got to let it all go and give it all to him today. Don't take it back with you. Don't take it back with you. Because he wants us all to be free in our mind, in our heart, in our thoughts, in our lives, in our situations. He do. He do. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody need any envelopes, please raise your hand.
I need you to lay your hands on your neighbor's shoulder and tell him something good.
Do you believe something good finna happen for you? I believe something good finna happen for everybody in here. For real. I do. Leave that baby alone.
Look at it again and say something, God.
Thank you, Jesus. The Bible declares that we are to give God 10% of our increase. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. So try me if I'm not a man of my word. If I won't open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. He said he's going to keep that credit away. He's going to make sure you sustain. He's going to make sure you have any and everything that you need. And not only is you going to be blessed, but other folk going to look at you and see that you are blessed. I'm just paraphrasing. It's in Malachi chapter 3. Read it for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. It's some people that gave me their tithes and their offering during the week.